Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Following On. I'm John Norman, and alongside me is former England fast bowler Steve Harmison to look back at England's series levelling victory at Old Trafford as England won the Test versus West Indies by 113 runs. Plenty to get our teeth into, as once again Ben Stokes showed his all-round importance to the team. Would they have got over the line without his runs and wickets, and will he be fit for the third Test? Stuart Broad, another to feel satisfied. He showed during the first test he could talk the talk, and then in the second that he can also walk the walk. Dare England drop him again? And what about the supporting cast? Don Best castling Jason Holder after being smashed, a defining moment of the test. Chris Wokes with test wicket 100, and Sam making things happen Curran, doing it once again. Plenty to chat about with Steve over the next half an hour. You're listening to Following On. So once again, Harmy, we're faced with the question, what or where would England be without Ben Stokes?
It's amazing what he's done in the last 10 days. All the stuff that you have to take on as captain, and I think the people that truly know this is people that have captained England, the stuff that you have to go through mentally and put your body through physically. What he had last week was a massive job, needed a massive effort to then go back to back and then go up to Manchester and then get 254 runs out of 595 to bowl 27.4 overs out of 100, nearly 170. So you're talking about he's bowled 27 overs out of, what is it? You say 80 from one end, 85 from one end. That's in only three spells, and that's a story in itself. So to have that Herculean effort, he deserved the Man of the Match award. And you say, where would we be without Ben Stokes? We'd be in a lot of trouble, not just in this test match, but in previous series where this guy, we've mentioned before, not only does he turn up with the bat now, and he's getting a little bit more consistent with the ball, but I think, again, I've said it three times now in the Following On podcast, his game management and understanding at the time what the game needs is what is getting better. So you say Ben Stokes is going to improve, and he's improving, but he's actually, that's what's improving the most, because when he needs to take the game by the scruff of the neck with the ball and he seizes the moment, he stands up and he does it. Plenty of examples. But actually today, when his team needed him to go out there and get England in a winning position, because there's a lot of talk about should they declare 85 overs. Ben Stokes, you know, we've got to help, because if Ben Stokes gets caught on 30, then all of a sudden Joe Root potentially doesn't get the option to go with a second new ball, because we're looking at 80 overs, 75 overs if he wants 300 plus. But because of the way Ben Stokes plays, and the way he seizes the moment, you know, he wanted to get, he got 78 or 57 balls, which for me, that gave England the best chance. And I think that momentum that gave England going into the getting the new ball in hand and the way Broad bowled at the start was why England won this test match. Because if they'd just meandered to 300 total, taking another maybe six or seven overs, then all of a sudden that psychological edge that would have given the West Indies to hold on, I think it would have been a lot easier for Jason Holder and his team.
There was an incredible moment in the day. There was a lot of incredible moments in the day. But that over before tea, you know, West Indies had put on 100 for the fifth wicket. And they'd had a chance to get rid of Brooks, but decided not to review a caught behind decision. Final over before tea, and Stokes is driven down the ground. And he turns, realises there's no mid-off, and he essentially fields from his own bowling. And he doesn't just field, he paces it down to the boundary, hurls himself. And in the end, it's a four anyway, because I think he just touched the boundary rope. Hurtles over it. Reminded me of Brendan McCullum, actually. But Brendan McCullum didn't have to bowl. He then gets up, and then three balls later, what was at the time the penultimate ball before the tea break, West Indies were about to go into the tea break knowing that they had six wickets in hand. And Stokes gets Blackwood. It was a huge moment in the match, and it just shows, talking about game management, talking about all the areas that Stokes offers England. But again, it was a match-defining moment created by Stokes in an over where you showed just the lengths the man is set to go to win games for England.
Absolutely, and I think one thing that a lot of people hadn't picked up on was the game had gone a bit dead. The pitch had gone a bit dead. The ball went a lot softer. And I think that's when Ben Stokes has been saying to Joe Root, just give me one more over, just give me one more over. And I think because of, and there'll be a lot made of Root bowling Stokes in longer spells, which potentially puts his body in it harm. But actually, I think that's beneficial for Joe Root and Ben Stokes, because if he bowls nine overs in a day in two spells, it's not the same Ben Stokes. If he bowls in one spell, he seems to get to a point where he seizes the moment and puts pressure on people the latter part of the spell. And that's what he did during day four. But obviously he did that just before the end of it on the tea break. And I think when Ben gets like that, there just seems to be that little bit of injection of that 1%, 2% that gets him in a position to get the wicket or create the chance. And let's not forget, we've hammered Joss Butler a lot because his place is under, you know, it is under scrutiny. It was a fantastic catch. It was a good catch down leg side. You know, diving forward, he didn't quite get full hands on it. He caught it in the wrists, and luckily it didn't bobble out. And I thought Joss Butler had a really good game behind the stumps. But that's what Ben does. That's what all rounders do. Botham-esque, Flintoff-esque. You know, the good all rounders just give you that little bit more, not only with bat, ball, and field, but when the moment is there and you seize the moment. Like we talked about the game management. That's when Ben Stokes is at his best. A little bit up against the wall, a little bit. But I think he seized the moment then. And that arguably was the game, I think was the game changer. It was a game-defining moment on that last day for England.
Goffey was speaking on Drive. He was saying the problem, or one of the problems Root has, is that he very often under-bowls Stokes and then he over-bowls Stokes. Now, I know you're talking about X-factor players, the extra 1%, the all-rounders, the fact that you can't get the ball out of their hands. And I remember, you know, Freddie Flintoff in 2005 at the Oval on day three, I guess it was, maybe four, you know, Australia ahead of the game. And Flintoff bowled an entire session, you know. But then I also remember Flintoff at the Oval in 2009 and the bloke couldn't walk.
Finished his career.
You know?
Yeah,
exactly. And this is the point, you know, at the moment you've got Stokes with his batting average going north and his bowling average going south. That's what you want. Mm. But you've still got to be careful with him because England need him.
Yeah, we've seen tonight that he's got possibly a little bit of a groin strain or something up with his groin, whether it was just cramp off, like we mentioned, the sort of Herculean effort over the last 10 days, not only physically, but mentally what had went through at Southampton, being captain, leading into it. His best mate, arguably his best mate in the team, Jofra Archer, going through a little bit of an indifferent patch during the sort of 3 days in between, and then have to go and do what he's done in this test match series. He must be, you know, he must be in bits at this moment in time. Can they somehow get them in a position to play on Friday. I very much hope so, even if it's just changing the dynamics of the team and playing them more as a batsman and potentially moving everybody up one and create a position for Sam Curran, because I'm not sure Sam would have played that in the third test match. But that's another story again. When you look at Ben Stokes, the way he's performed in this test match, I think you've got to try and... And I understand what Goffey said, and he's spot on, that Root doesn't bowl him enough at times, but then when he gets him on, he stays on for, like we've seen yesterday, 11-over spell, 10-over spell, or 9-over spell today. That's more down to Ben than it is to Joe. Once he gets him on, Ben will be saying, I want another go. I want another over. I want another over. I feel as though something's happening. If you've got somebody that can do things like Ben Stokes can, and he tells you he feels as though something's happening, you don't take him off. You let him go. Joe could potentially be a bit stronger. I think Joe's right to do that, for the simple fact is, if you take him off, you don't really want him to come back, because he's expensive when he first starts. I think the longer Ben bowls, the better he seems to get. And I think that 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th over does create a chance. And I think because of that, I think Root uses him the right way in that aspect. I understand what Darren's saying, because he potentially could get him injured. But you've seen the way Ben Stokes has performed over the last few years, and this is working. I don't see the point of changing it. I think you keep him going.
It wasn't all about Stokes, though, was it? You know, England, when they look back at this test match, will realise just what incredible strengths of depth they have within the bowling ranks. Because each one of their bowlers was questioned in this test match, and each one of them came up with answers. Stuart Broad, he talked the talk during that first test. Well, he walked the walk in this, the second test match. That spell of bowling in West Indies' first innings with old ball, then new, 3 wickets for 1 run in 14 balls, changed the entire complexion of this test match. And then, of course, with new ball in second innings, he ripped through the top order again. Chris Wokes, the 100 test wicket man, who's got to the 1,000 test runs and 100 test wickets in 34 test matches, which is quicker than pretty much anybody else, including Stokes and Garfield Sobers, once again showed that, yes, England are going to miss Jimmy Anderson when he hangs up his boots. In England, that is. I'm not saying Wokes is the answer away from home, but they have got an heir apparent there. Sam Curran, he's not going to get a lot of fifers, but boy, that guy has got a brain 10 years down the line. For someone so young to understand the game the way he does is just incredible. And possibly the defining over of the match, or certainly one of them, apart from the over before lunch, Dom Bess hit first, 4 and a 6 by Holder. He'd been expensive, and he's not the finished article. But I tell you what, I've seen so many spinners play for England over the years. They get some tap, their confidence goes, the confidence of the captain goes, suddenly their field is all over the place and they're out the team. Dom Bess instead showed all the character that he possesses, and he isn't the finished article, but he comes back to bowl Holder through the gate with a beautiful delivery, just showing that he's got it. It might be a few years away from him, but England have got an embarrassment of riches waiting to come in behind the likes of Mark Wood, Jimmy Anderson and Jofra Archer.
It's going to be intriguing to see how England go. Everything you've just mentioned there is spot on. And I was chuffed to bits for Dom Bess. I really was. I was jumping for joy for the kid. For the simple fact is, like what you said, the character he's shown, now getting a bit of tap. We're talking about the art of off-spin bowling. What's best, 22, 23-year-old? You know, Graham Swan, probably England's best ever finger spinner, off spinner. Didn't play till he was 28. A lot of it down to his gob, because he upset a few people. But I reckon Swanee would have had 350 first-class wickets before he even played a test match. You know, and Swanee got 250 test wickets. We do have... I think an embarrassment in this country where we pick players between 20 and 25 and we're quick to discard them. And when we throw them back on the treadmill of first-class cricket at 25, they're better players when they're 28, 27, 28. And I think Joe Denley nearly proved that you can pick somebody in their 30s and they'll do a good job for you. And they'll do the job for you. Joe was nearly there. A couple of hundreds and Joe would have been still in the team and flying. So when it comes to the bowling department, you know, you mentioned there Broad and Wokes. Wokes, 5 for 74 in a test match. I thought he bowled well. He bowled what Chris Wokes does. He never lets you down. 81, 82 mile an hour consistently. He held an end up. Perfect in England. He needs to work on. Like he said yesterday on the TV, he was brilliant in honesty and open. He said, I need to work on away from home. That's a fair assessment, and I'm sure he will do that. Broad, 6 for 108. I thought Broad was magnificent. What he said before the during the game at Southampton, I said to Macca on the Cricket Collective, and I said to you before, I think at the end of one of the days, that Stuart Broad will turn up and he will perform here. He doesn't come here after saying what he says and hoping he'll perform. He knows he's going to perform because that's what Stuart's done for 140 test matches. Now comes on to Broad and Anderson for me, and I get fired up a lot when people talk about Broad and Anderson in such a way. And I'm pleased you mentioned Chris Wokes, because Stuart Broad is 34-year-old. Jimmy Anderson is 38. We get a lot, and I heard this on TV a little bit earlier, we get a lot pigeonhole couples together, people together, and it's Broad and Anderson. And rightly so, they've got over 1,000 wickets between them. But when Jimmy Anderson was the same age as Stuart Broad, he's took 130 wickets since that time. Now that's more than Chris Wokes has got in his career. So we're talking about somebody like Chris Wokes taking over from Jimmy Anderson. At the age that Jimmy Anderson was at, where Stuart Broad is now, he took over more wickets than what Chris Wokes has got, and he's at this minute in time. So it's madness that we start thinking about Broad and Anderson. I think what we've got to realise is that Jimmy's going to go. And when Jimmy goes, I think largely it should be down to when Jimmy wants to go. At this minute in time, he's fit and he's firing. So when it comes to the selection for the next test match, it shouldn't be, can Broad and Anderson play together? It's, can you put Anderson in the team? Can you fit Anderson, our best ever bowler, near 600 wickets? Can you fit him in the team and not talk about anybody else? Whether it's with Broad or with Wokes or with Archer or with Wood, can we fit him in the team? I think we should be, because Yabbage is 21 at Old Trafford and he's still our best bowler. You can't leave a bowler out, and I said this before, you can't leave a bowler out at a ground when he's got a name an end named after him. That's the thing that I can't wait to see what Friday morning brings, and it's who plays alongside him. I think Stuart Broad's done enough, but whether they will think, well, we've picked our team for the first test match, second test match and third test match, time will tell.
Well, look, there's plenty to talk about, that's for sure. I'm glad you mentioned the Cricket Collective. You will be back with Macca between 6 and 7 for a real considered look back at this test match and ahead to the third test match as well. I think you're going to be joined by Barry Wilkinson from the Caribbean as well. So that's to look forward to. That will be available on the Following On podcast as well. But we do need to talk about the third test. We do need to talk about the West Indies as well. And all that is coming up on Following On.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
So, Steve Harmison, before we look ahead to the third test match, which gets underway at exactly the same ground as the second test match, let's talk about the West Indies, because they came within an hour of saving the test match, but at no stage, really, apart from about 20-minute, half-an-hour spell before tea, did it ever really seem that they were favourites to draw the match. But they could still take some positives out of it as well, because once again, their batting stood up. Brooks and Blackwood wouldn't be in that side if Hetmyer and Bravo had made the journey over. So that's phenomenal. Chase had a rare failure, his first of the series. The problem they have, I think, is the form of their, a bit like England has over the last few years, form of their number one and number three. As you know, so number two and number three. Campbell has struggled. I wonder whether a confident Campbell with runs under the belt would have dropped Ben Stokes in the outfield in the manner that he did early on day five. And sadly, they've invested a lot in Shai Hope. And of course, we'll always remember 2017. But his form over the last 2 years is just plummeted. That's a big problem for the West Indies. If they can get a player in there, then they're going to create problems for England, especially when you consider that their batting goes so deep.
Yeah, and I think the big one, Hetmyer is a good player. We've seen in the Caribbean when we were commentating for TalkSport 2, he looked as though he was a little firecracker. He's somebody that's going to make something happen. But the biggest loss is Bravo batting at three, because if Bravo bats at three, Hope bats at four. And I think just a little bit more protection. You mentioned Campbell getting out early, then all of a sudden Hope comes in, ball's doing a bit. Stuart Broad's all over them. Tail up, ball's moving about. Then obviously Hope, the way he's batting at the minute, he's a walking wicket. And a little bit like what England have been. Two down for not very many. And arguably our middle order and best players exposed. You have the Root going up the top. Stokes going up. That didn't work. So the West Indies are going to find a three. A number three. Hope is such a good player. I don't think, for me, you jettison him out the side just yet. I think if you could find a three, then you could have Hope coming down a little bit. I like Brooks. I really like Brooks. I think he is a top, top player. I think he's got the characteristics to be a good player in such a, in defence. TV showed a split screen of him and Hashim Amla, and there's a lot of movements very, very similar. And I thought it was a very, very good piece by the TV to show, and the movements, and picks the bat up from sort of more gully, but comes down in a straight line, and he's high back lift means he gets something on the ball. He looks to hit the ball. I think Blackwood and Hetmyer in the middle of the innings. I tell you what, you could get 150 in a session, or you could get two and two balls. Just something is going to happen with them two if you've got that. But I like the look of what the West Indies. The West Indies aren't far away. Looking at the series as a whole, if England go on and win Friday, I'd expect England to win Friday, and I expected England at the start of the series to win the series 3-0, 2-1, whatever. Because I didn't believe the West Indies could put 15 consistent days together, or 12 days out of 15 consistently enough to either stay in the series or win the series because of a couple of players that are missing. But they're not far away. I think they might have to have a look at maybe he's Roston and Chase from a bowling department. Maybe he's the player two spinners when it comes to Friday, and bring big Cornwall in, leave one of the seamers out. So there's room for manoeuvre from a few, and they'll be carrying a few injuries. But the West Indies have got to be given credit for not only for coming over it, but actually they've actually brought something to England this series. They've brought a bit of fight. Been well led by the captain. Big Shannon has just not stopped running in. And you know what? England have had a little bit of a scare. And I think if it goes to a fourth test match or a fifth test match with time in between, then I really think England would have had a tougher contest. Three test matches, 15 days test cricket in about, 22, 23 days. I think it was always going to be a big ask for the West Indies. And it was seen now that starting to fall to pieces, as in bodies, and England are just starting to get on top.
Does Shannon Gabriel play in that third test match?
I think if I could get him fit, I'd have to play him. you've got a test match. You've got 5 days to win the Wisden Trophy. You want your best bowlers. If you can get them fit. Shannon was going home 2 days ago, and then he came back out, and he's kept running in. I think we've seen what sometimes happens to a big, fast, tall, fast bowler that hits the deck hard. And I'm talking from experience here and myself, that you get games where you get 9 foot and everything's great and everything's working. And you get games where nothing happens. The body's struggling. You stiffen up. You're a bit wayward. Tomorrow's another day. If they can get him fit for Friday, I think I'd roll him back out there. Because I think when he hits his straps, I think he causes England's top order a lot of problems because the ball coming back in. That little bit waywardness, the ball coming back in onto off stump, I think it does cause England a few problems. So if I could get the big fella fit, I'd roll him back out there for 5 more days.
Okay, so let's look at England. Let's assume that Stokes is fit. What's your 11 for the third test match from an English perspective?
I think England have got their bowling attack. I think they've more or less got it picked for me. I think they've picked it before the first test match, that these four are going to play this test match. These four are going to play the next test match. I think England's bowling attack will be Anderson, Wood, Archer and Leach with Stokes come Friday. I think that's what I think they've come in with a game plan, a little bit like Australia did for the Ashes a couple of years ago. If I was picking, I'd go Anderson Broad and one of the fast lads. We don't know where Archer is because he's been confined to barracks for a few days. If he's fit, firing and going, he's got a point to prove. I'd maybe play on that, chuck him back out there. If I felt as though he could get me through 5 days and he was in a good place, I think from England's management point of view, they need to get him back out there for the simple fact if he doesn't play in the third test match, there's going to be a lot of question talking about what he did, going home, breaking protocol, I think it recycles, news recycles. So I think the earlier they can get him out there, the better for not only for the England cricket team, but for Jofra himself. So I think that would just sway on picking Archer over Wood. So if I was picking my team, I'm picking Anderson Broad, Archer, Leach with Ben Stokes. Stokes is not fit. I might have to sacrifice one of my batsmen and find a place for Sam Curran. That's where, at this moment in time, England need their wicketkeeper to fire. Because if they had the wicketkeeper firing, they could play a Curran, move Butler up to 6, Curran to 7, and then pick the bowlers, and then say to one of the batsmen, if you're not doing your job, you're not in the team, and just play Ed Stokes solely as a batsman. Because at this moment in time, the more 10-over spells he bowls, the more harm you're going to put on his body for September and then into potential what is coming, a very, very tough winter. So it's not about now. It's about looking after Ben Stokes, that we get him through India and beyond. If we keep having to bowl him 10 and 11 over spells and he bats for 3 out of the 5 days, then Ben Stokes is not going to be around come end of the year.
I'm just going to throw it in there. But, it was only 6 test matches ago that Ollie Pope took the gloves for England. Just saying. Mm. But there is another point. You mentioned Jack Leach coming into the side for the third test match. Give me your reasons behind that, for one. And secondly, where and what are England going to do with Dominic Best? Because he is not the finished article. As you mentioned, Graham Swann didn't come good till he was nearly 30. Best is a few years away from that. But do England need to take a real long-term approach with Bess? Because there's undoubted talent in there. There's undoubted character and tenacity and fight. But he's not the finished article yet, is he?
No, he's not. I think they've got to get him playing cricket. Make sure he's playing cricket. He's gone from Somerset to be... He's on... Bear in mind, less than 12 months ago, he's not even in his county's first 11. He's gone up to Yorkshire on loan. And he's now in the England cricket team. So that's hats off to Dominic Best, first and foremost. I'm playing Jack Leach because the West Indies have got 10 right-handers and John Campbell. And I'm playing Stuart Broad to get John Campbell out because Stuart Broad with a new ball, the left-hander at the top of the order, seems to get left-handers out for fun. So I'm playing somebody who can take the ball away from the bat because even though you know, we're talking about making sure everybody gets looked after. It's still 1-1, Wisden Trophy. It's a huge trophy. And we have not been, the West Indies have not won in England or not had the result in England since 1988. And I do not want that if I was in charge of England on that, on my CV. So I'm picking the best team possible. And that would be just give Don Best a little bit of a breather and stick the left arm spinner in, who I want to get overs in as well, and try and get him to take the ball away from the bat, because the West Indies seem to enjoy that every time Best chucks it above the eye line. We've seen even, I think it was Brooks. I'm not sure he's seen Chris Wilkes. I'm convinced he hasn't seen Chris Wilkes stand on that boundary. But every time they chuck it above the eye line, they try and belt him out of the ground for six. So just take him out of it, out of the firing line a little bit. I think he's done really well. But clear the left arm spinner, gets him some overs in. And then all of a sudden, after this test match, we're now, everybody's playing. Counties are starting to play. So now you can start getting people games of cricket. And you can see, you know, you're not just worrying about 11 players having a game in the middle. We're getting some form into other people as well. So spinner needs the ball. So for me, I think Jack Leach comes in just because he can take the ball away from, you know, the right-handers off stump.
And a final word for the returning captain. He didn't score any runs, but what kind of difference do you think having Joe Root back in the side meant?
Calming influence. A huge calming influence, I think. And that's nothing the way against the way Ben captained at all. I just think when you've got a player like Joe Root in your side, you've got Rory Burns, Dominic Sibley, Zach Crawley, Ollie Pope playing a lot of their junior cricket with either Ben Stokes, with Joe Root pitches on the walls, or, you know, they've looked up and they've seen the television. The kid's got a massive amount of international experience and runs, and he's England's best player. All of a sudden, you know, you see your leader coming back and your best player coming back. Then I think that's huge for the dressing room, and I think it give a lot to the opposition as well. Like what we all said, and I'm happy to say it again. I thought at Southampton it was the weakest, the most inexperienced batting lineup I've seen for England probably in my lifetime, without somebody like Joe Root in that middle order. And I think that showed down at Southampton. And I think the West Indies exploited that. And I think they knew that for a fact. A little bit different in this game. Root had a calming influence. He got 23 in the first innings. He was looking good, chased a wide one. But he batted for an hour and a bit, 2 hours. He hung around and he did what Joe Root did in the second innings, which was sacrificed himself for the team. I think it's great to see the captain back, and you always need your leader back, no matter how well he's playing. I played for Michael Vaughan, and whenever Michael Vaughan was in the team, the opposition always were looking over at the opposition captain. You knew he had, you know, a calm influence on the team, on his own team. You knew he knew what he was, you know, what he was trying to do and what he was doing, and then, you know, he had an aura about him as a leader and as a captain. And I think Joe's got that. And I think that's what it meant to have Joe back into this group.
Brilliant stuff. Harmy, absolutely phenomenal, as per ever. You'll be back with Macca on TalkSport 2 between 6 and 7. We'll be chatting, no doubt, throughout the week. You'll be back on breakfast as well. It's been a great 5 days. Thanks for being part of it. You can listen to the Following On podcast after every day of the Test Series, not just this one, Pakistan as well. Listen on Acast, iTunes, or Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. But for now, that's about it. We will be back with a preview to the third Test match. And after every day's play, you'll be listening to Following On.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.